This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. This past Monday, the Capitol started using a new security mechanism for keeping guns out of the state capitol. Here with me to break it all down is Detroit News reporter Beth LeBlanc. Hi, Beth.
Hey, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. And there's a lot going on at the Capitol, particularly when everybody comes back from this holiday break. They're going to start using AI gun detection software. What is that?
Yeah, so the software went live on Monday, and essentially it's a plugin that plugs into the current surveillance cameras at the Capitol. And it analyzes footage from the Capitol grounds, from inside the Capitol, and it detects whether there's evidence of a firearm or gun somewhere. It alerts folks back in a control room that the company runs. They analyze the footage, and if they kind of corroborate the footage and the threat there, they tell folks in the Capitol that there's a threat there. And they say it takes 3 to 5 seconds to analyze it and to get an alert out there. So it's really a measure to kind of increase security at the state capitol. And Michigan's capitol would be the first one in the nation to adopt this kind of AI software.
This is not the first security upgrade that has happened at the Capitol recently. The building started using weapons detection security in August. What is the reason for this increase in security?
Yeah, so there's been a debate like over the past three years about how best to address security at the Capitol while still maintaining some fiercely defended Second Amendment rights that have been in place for a very long time at the Michigan Capitol. Part of what prompted this was during the pandemic, we saw very large protests on the Capitol grounds. And on a couple of occasions, those protests spilled into the state Capitol, and we saw people armed with firearms trying to gain access to the House floor. In other cases, they stood in the gallery in the Senate above where senators were meeting and passing bills. So since then, there's been kind of a push to limit firearm access or firearm possession in the Capitol. Obviously, January 6, 2021 kind of pushed that issue a little bit further and caused some real change there. So, you know, this has kind of been incremental in terms of different security measures. Being after January 6th, one of the things they did is they banned open carry within the Capitol. So you couldn't openly carry some sort of firearm. Later this year, they implemented further restrictions that said you can't even concealed carry. But they included a carve out for lawmakers that said lawmakers, if they have a concealed pistol license, can continue to carry within the state capitol, but they are the only ones who really can at this point besides security.
How far around the capitol does the ban on open carry and concealed carry extend? I'm thinking of for many years previously, there were these so-called Second Amendment rallies on the Capitol grounds. They would then go into the state Capitol brandishing their firearms very openly. Obviously, they can't go into the Capitol anymore, but can people still open carry or even concealed carry on the Capitol grounds? Like, could they have a similar protest, just not go in the Capitol?
Yeah, and that's a very important point because I think it's been an area of confusion for people. The ban on concealed and open carry is only within the Capitol building. So they can be anywhere on the grounds. You know, they can still have their Second Amendment rallies. They can still be on the grounds with firearms, but they just can't bring them into the building. Now, this AI software is going to be monitoring the grounds and inside the building. So if it detects firearms on the Capitol grounds, it'll basically monitor that situation to identify whether that individual is attempting to bring the firearm inside the building. And obviously on days where they know they're going to have a big Second Amendment rally, they'll let the company know ahead of time so there isn't a lot of false alarms about the amount of firearms that are on the Capitol grounds at that point.
What has been the reaction to these increased security measures?
You know, it probably depends on who you're talking to. I know from a lot of Democratic lawmakers who were around in 2020 when some of these more contentious protests broke out in the Capitol and people entered the Capitol and sought entry into the House chamber. I think from some of those folks, they're thankful for the added protections. They've seen them as a long time in coming. They've been demanding them for a very long time. Republicans have been hesitant to adopt these changes because there's this huge history in the Michigan Capitol of allowing pretty freely for weapons to be carried anywhere within the Capitol. They didn't really push back as much on the open carry ban that was implemented in 2021. But there were some people who were concerned about the concealed carry ban in the Capitol. And I think it was due to some of their pushback that they included a carve out for lawmakers. For the Michigan State Capitol Commission, which is basically spearheading a lot of these security measures, they've made the argument that, look, we have school groups coming in here on a daily basis. We have visitors and tourists, and we have the lawmakers that need to be protected while they're fulfilling their duties. So they've argued that this is a way to increase security while also maintaining access for the general public.
Guns and gun control have been a very popular topic this week. Not only do you have these new measures at the state capitol, but Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed new legislation related to guns and people who have committed domestic violence. Beth, what are the new laws?
Those domestic violence laws were signed into law on Monday. And basically what they do is, currently there are provisions in place that if you commit a felony related to domestic violence, your rights to a gun are suspended for a certain period of time. But there weren't provisions that did the same thing for misdemeanors were involved with domestic violence. So this law sought to address that loophole and say, look, if you get convicted of a misdemeanor for domestic violence, after you finish your sentence, you have to wait 8 years before you can own or possess a gun again. And that's basically what these bills secured. Now, there was also kind of a minor change in the law that had some big implications. So the same bills that put those domestic violence provisions in place, they tweaked the definition of what a felony is that would result in somebody losing their access to a firearm for a certain period of time. And that tweak opened up about 190 at least new high court misdemeanors and felonies that would result in someone losing their firearm access for 3 to 5 years. So it was mainly focused on the domestic violence aspect of it, but there were repercussions for offenses that are very unrelated to domestic violence that will now result in you losing access to a gun for 3 to 5 years.
What do Governor Gretchen Whitmer and proponents of these bills hope that they will achieve? What are they saying is the benefit of these?
I mean, I think they, from what they've said about the bills, they see it as addressing an issue where, you know, someone is convicted of a domestic violence crime, it's likely that they'll reoffend, and yet they have quick access after sentencing or after all of their cases go through to a firearm again. And so they see it as a way to stop any potential reoffense or any, you know, really horrible result where you have a shooting take place in a domestic violence situation. They had a lot of prosecutors and they had the Michigan State Police who were supportive of these changes, who said they've seen in their line of work that this just presents an unnecessary risk when it comes to domestic violence.
Talk to me about the people who are speaking out against these bills. Is there a particularly vocal, loud group, or are most people on board with these?
So they're not so much opposed to folks with domestic violence records not having limited access to guns or having a period of time where they can't have access to guns. What they're concerned about is the way the bill was worded. They felt like the way the bill defined recent domestic partner, it could be someone from way back in your history who could allege something or what have you, and that could eventually lead to a misdemeanor and then revocation of gun rights. They also said some of the crimes, like destruction of property, if you can in some way link that to domestic violence or show it was against a former partner or whatever, then that would result in a revocation of gun rights for 8 years. So they said they felt that that went a little too far, that the definitions were too loose. And as a result, it would, you know, result in a unnecessary seizure or revocation of gun rights.
Obviously, changes to the state's gun laws are a big issue for Democrats. Are there plans for more bills to change the state's gun laws?
You know, I can't think of any immediate ones right now. The interesting thing is there have been a lot of changes to Michigan gun laws over the past year. You know, they've passed red flag laws, safe storage laws, universal registration and background checks for guns, and now these domestic violence bills, but none of them have gone into effect yet. So they don't go into effect because of the way the lawmaking process works in Michigan. They can't go into effect until February. So I think lawmakers might take some time to see how these laws are implemented and how they're working within the state. It's possible that they might need to tweak a couple once they start getting implemented and they see kind of the pros and cons of them. So I think there's going to be a lot of observation and data gathering over the next several months.
Beth LeBlanc, reporter for the Detroit News. Beth, always a pleasure to have you here on Mishmash.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional help from Jack Philbrandt. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you really, really like this show, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give. Without your support, really, shows like this one and all of the great work that WDET does just would not be possible. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.